beautiful morning out there. It's always a pleasure to get up here and look out over the saints of God and know that someday doesn't matter what happens, as far as life is concerned, we're all going to spend eternity together. We're going to be in that glorious, unbelievable place called heaven. We have that imperishable joy that fills our hearts every day. Nobody can take your joy from you. Happiness is... depends on people, circumstances, you name it. But joy is a gift from God. You know that, don't you? So we need to be joyful as a people. When we greet one another in joy. Because this joy is inexpressible. It's full of glory. The aspects. So I've been challenging you by trying to help you to see the power of the Word of God. From creation to the end of the age, to the aspects of it all. That God's Word is sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces. It's an unbelievable power that God has invested to us, and it's right here. It's the Word of God. You and I are privileged, if you will, that the Holy Spirit led the Apostle Paul in giving to us the full armor of God. The armor of God that we prayed about last Lord's Day. Asking God to help us that every day, because it's an evil day, that you make sure and you watch and be careful that you put on the full armor. The full armor. Because the better you watch out, the aspect of being alert, watching out, looking and making sure that you're aware of everything that's going around you. Because the reason we put on the full armor of God is that we might stand against the schemes of the devil. And while having done everything, we will still stand because the days and the time that you and I live in are evil. So maybe you're bored. You've been hearing this. Maybe it's been going in one ear, out the other. I have no idea. I do know this, however. It doesn't take long to tell who in the world is in the Word and who the Word is in them. Because it indeed will not only save them, it will mature them, it will complete them, it will make them whole, and it will indeed inspire them to fight the good fight of faith, to lay hold on the eternal promise of God that they might receive the crown of life. So if you're bored right now, spend some time, if you will, wiggling your ears enough so everybody will notice. Okay? Some people can wiggle their ears. It's amazing how they can do that. Well, if you're really bored, just sit there while I'm preaching and just shake your head no. And see how many people around you can get them to be shaking their head no. And maybe they'll look at you and wonder, what in the world's wrong with that guy? Why doesn't he agree with that? I don't know, but maybe you'd like to just sit there and twiddle your thumbs. See how many people you can get twiddling your thumbs while you're twiddling your thumbs, okay? The aspects of that, of course, if you don't and that doesn't work and those ideas doesn't, then see how many angels you can count sitting on the end of your nose. I don't know. If that doesn't do it, then why don't you just come out and go to dinner with all of us on Advy Sunday when we go over to the Chinese restaurant and the buffet, and I guarantee you, while you're there, you better watch out. Not so much that John isn't able to be with us, but Dave's there, Chris is there, Alex is there, because I guarantee you, some Sundays, there's paper wads boom, flying through the air. And so you better be careful, you better be watching, you better be aware that there might not come a paper wad that hits you side the head. Right, Dave? Well, maybe you could ask Carol Davis how many times she's been shot at. Point is, put on the full armor of God that you might be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And having done all, that you will stand. Because our battle isn't against flesh and blood. Our battle is against principalities and powers, spiritual rulers and spiritual powers and governments in high places. Therefore, put on the full armor of God that you may stand in the evil day. And every day is an evil day, according to Hebrews chapter 3. So as you and I stand, we have to put on the full armor of God. And the first thing that Paul sees as he's there in prison, sees this Roman centurion, is this belt, the belt of truth. Girt yourself up with the belt of truth. Truth is what sets you free to fight the battle. We're in a battle against what's true and what's a lie. Satan is the father of all lies. God's word is truth. This is truth. Girt yourself up with the truth of the word of God. Girt yourself up. And then put on the breastplate of righteousness. The aspect, of course, is that you and I are to be hungering and thirsting for righteousness, because that's how you will be filled. A righteousness is imputed by God through your obedience to His Word. Those who walk in obedience will find grace in the eyes of God, and He will grant them the obedience or the righteousness and clothe them in the righteousness of His Son. Shod your feet up. Put on your feet, so wherever you go, you're taking the gospel of peace. There will be no peace in this world until everybody surrenders and humbles themselves at the foot of the Prince of Peace. Then, above all, above everything else, finally, take up the shield of faith, which will protect you against the fiery arrows, fiery darts of the evil one. Put on the helmet of salvation. Set your mind on things above, not on earth. That's where your heart is. Set your mind. And then above every, and also take up the sword of the Spirit, which we shared last week, which is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. This is the sword, a double-edged sword. And then he said, pray for all the saints. Pray for me that I may have boldness to preach the Word of God. And then he said, watch out. Be on the alert. Why? Be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Be on alert about what? Be on alert why? Why should we better be watching out? What is there indeed that we are to be watching out? How many of you like our highways, our roads right now? Don't go down Waverly Road, because if you do, you better watch out. It's filled with potholes. Some of our major highways, if you don't watch out along the edge, there are some real unbelievable dips and holes that you could easily put your tire out of line or front end out of line. I mean, you and I watch out when we're driving down the highway, don't we? Huh? How many of you watch out for potholes? Well, most of us do. I do, that's for sure. Well, if we watch out for potholes, we ought to be watching out for the other man, this evil one, because he's a pothole too. And if you fall into his hole, he'll destroy you. He'll end your life right now. That's his goal. He's a murderer. You know that? He's a deceiver. Therefore, you better watch out. You better be on alert, because your adversary, according to our text this morning, goes about like a roaring lion, right? Devouring. Devouring whom he can. I don't want you to use this screen up here as an excuse for not opening up your Bibles. Open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5, if you will. Because this is where we're going. This is our text this morning. It's so important that we really get a grip of what the Apostle Peter is trying to tell us and how he is this. Be alert is to stay awake, is to be on watch, is to pay strict attention to, is to be cautious, is to be aware of your surroundings and every aspect of what's happening and what's taking place. That's what it means. Be on alert. All right? And the aspects, of course, is that why would we do that? How are we going to be, and how are we going to manifest that aspect? Be sober, be alert, is in the aorist imperative. Every time you see it in your scriptures, be alert, watch, like Jesus did when he went up into the mount to pray, you remember? And he told his disciples, watch that you fall not into temptation or into evil. And he went on from that. Watch is an aorist imperative. Are you listening to me? Aorist imperative. An imperative is underlined as it with law. It is a command. It's not an option. We're being commanded to watch. We're being commanded to be alert. Why? Because the devil, this roaring lion, is seeking to destroy people's lives. Be alert. Command. Repent and be baptized. It's imperative. It is the law. It's undergirded by law. It is a command of God, and it will not change. If Peter was standing before you today and you cried out, "What must you do to be saved?" he would tell you to repent and be baptized, every one of you. It's an imperative. Imperative as undergirded as it is a law. It's commanded by God. Do you ever use imperatives on your children? Stop that. You ever told them as they're walking along a path that's going out and you're coming out on the edge? Maybe you're up in Lake Michigan and you're walking along the shoreline and you say, "Now watch out, be alert that you don't fall over the edge." You ever done that? Huh? Well, you do that as an imperative, don't you? As a command. Why? Because you know what could happen if they don't. Right? Same thing is true with God. He knows the power of the evil one, and he warns you and me very carefully that we don't think. So the first thing he said, if you note, is that you are to do what? Whoops, I'm sorry. Oh, dear me, suds. Will I go back there again? Who knows? No, I don't want to go there. Anyway, forget it. Look at what it says. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. The first thing you must do is humble yourself. Thank you, Chris. What do you do? What does it say? Humble yourself. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. You are not going to stand against the evil one unless you put your life into the hand of the mighty one, God. God is a mighty hand. He upholds the world by his word power. He is a all power. There is nothing that God cannot do. And you need to humble. God's word speaks of you and I putting ourselves into his mighty hand, his strong hand of God. Jesus said in Matthew 23:12, "Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled. Whoever humbles himself shall be exalted." God's hand, a mighty hand, exalt. It lifts up people. Satan has nothing more than the concept of wanting to devour you, destroy you, and to just lay your life to havoc. He wants to ruin everything about you. Your marriage, your life, your character, your integrity. He wants to destroy your life. He's a liar. He's a liar. James 4:10, "Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you in proper time." You know what's strange about humility? The moment you think you have it, you just lost it. It's strange, isn't it? How in the world, and what is humility? Humility is being able to measure yourself by the proper measurement. There's not a one of you, nor I, that measures up to the almighty holiness of the almighty God. It ought to humble us. That every breath you take is a gift from God. It's in him you move and have your being. We are his offspring. Anytime you think you're your own God, you better watch out. Because the fall is imminent. Pride always comes before the fall. I like that song, in his time, he'll make something beautiful of your life in his time, right? In his time. Is that why Isaiah 40:31 says, "Yet those who wait upon the Lord will renew or gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not grow weary." I like that. I got that all over my house. I love that verse. How many of you grow weary? How many of you feel like you're running and you just can't make it? You feel like you've given it all. My daughter called me lots of times. She said, "Daddy, you think I'm going to make it?" How many of you just wonder sometimes, am I going to make it? Can I go on another step? Can I go on another moment? Can I just take one more step in life? Can I make it? If you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, he will make sure you make it. You can do everything and through everything through the strength that he gives you, right? You know what it says? You can make it. Secondly, it's an imperative that you do what? Huh? You better underline that, people. Why? Because he cares for you. Look, that's what it says, isn't it? Casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. What's all mean? Some of it? A little bit of it? Whenever you feel like it? Whatever? No, it's all. 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 All of your anxiety. It is an imperative that you cast your anxiety upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. God cares. And he cares. And there are no ifs and ands. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Write that down. Look it up. It's in there. It's Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. I will never forsake you, nor will I ever desert you, saith the Lord God. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. Wow. That's pretty imperative, isn't it? What? The Lord will never leave me, nor will he ever forsake me. Therefore, I can confidently say, God is my helper in every present time of need, and I will not be afraid. You know what Revelation says, 21:6? The fearful will be cast in the lake of fire and brimstone. You've read that in the Bible? You know that fear is in direct opposition to faith? Fear is in direct opposition to who and who God is and what he's able to do, what he promises he will do in your life, and what he's capable of doing. If you humble yourself, you cast all your anxiety upon him, he will exalt you. But what if you don't? What if you don't? Well, let me tell you what's going to happen. What will happen in that context is that you're just going to be fighting and struggling in your mind, and you won't be able to control your mental thinking process. You just won't be able to do it. You see, the word sober, as it's given here, be sober is to be sound-minded. The Bible says the double-minded person is unstable in all the ways. What does your Bible say? James? It's like a ship out in the middle of the sea, beaten about by the waves. Right? Huh? Double-minded people. Now, either God is able, and God is more powerful, bigger than any problem or any situation in your life, or he isn't. Period. Right? And so, and you and I have this sober-mindedness, this sound-mindedness, we do not get intoxicated. Well, I don't get drunk. No, but you can become intoxicated with worry, with anxiety, with fear, with doubt, with depression, and you name it. You become intoxicated to it. We are mentally capable, if you will, of controlling our minds. And the Bible says in Philippians 4:8, you know what it says. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute or good report, if there is any excellence, anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. You have control over what you let your mind dwell on. You know that? Fourthly, the imperative is to be alert, right? Be sober-minded, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to destroy. When you and I are intoxicated by fear and worry and anxiety and doubt and you name it, your resistance to the Satan just drops dramatically. You know that? It just drops dramatically. You're not able to withstand him. If you're intoxicated with worry and anxiety and fear and all the aspects, and he's the author of them all. He is. I think Jesus, you know, remember the waves, the disciples were out there in the boat, and they were filled with fear, right? And they woke up the Lord and said, Lord, don't you even care what's going on around us? We're going to perish. Isn't that what you feel sometimes? And so what did he do? Well, he just stood up. And he simply said, peace, be still. You don't think he can do that in your life? If you humble yourself under his mighty hand, that he can exalt you and lift you up above all the situations and problems that you're facing in life, and you can be able to confidently say that no matter what, God is my helper. He's there. Every time I need him, I call upon him, he will be there. But when you worry and you doubt and you have anxiety, I guarantee you, your resistance is going to drop. And you will be blinded to Satan's schemes. You won't see him. You won't see what he's doing and how he's doing it. You won't be able to be aware of all the circumstances, and he'll blind you to everything, especially will he blind you to all the good that God's done in your life. Isn't that what he did to Israel? Didn't God bless them? Didn't he deliver them? Didn't he blow manna and quail and everything into the camp? How soon did they forget? How many times has God blessed your life? How many times has he blessed you and blessed you and blessed you and blessed you? And then one thing comes along, and what do? We forget all that God has done, and we focus on the problem rather than God. And Satan steps in. I guarantee you, he will step in, and he's a schemer, he's a liar, he's a deceiver, and he will start eating at your soul, your mind, and your heart, and it starts wearing on you physically. You know that, don't you? Your focus goes off the mighty hand of your God. You know that? Your focus goes off the mighty hand of God. That's what it does. And you start focusing only on the evil one. But as you see, this whole context of Scripture is so powerful in the imperative tense. Our world today is filled with what they call fatalism. Fatalistic thinking. And you and I are prone to absorb it. Because the world is under the power and domain of the evil one. And the world is filled with darkness, isn't it? And when you set free from darkness and transferred into a kingdom of light and the kingdom of God's dear Son. And when you and I don't allow that light to permeate our minds and our hearts, darkness is there, and that's where fatalism comes from. Because you can't see beyond your nose. You can't see the light, no matter how bright it is. You and I need to know that God has and desires to turn on the light. Notice that verse 9 of our text, it says, resist him. That's an imperative. That's a command. You're the one that's got to resist. Resist him, right? Resist him. Resist him. Firm in your what? Yeah, that's it. Resist him, resist him, resist him. James 4, 6 through 8, God gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will what? What? Flee. What if you don't resist him? How many times have I had to kick him in the and tell him, get out of here, leave me alone. You know who I am. God is my Father, you're not. You may be the father of darkness and the father of this world, but my God, my Father, is in heaven right now, and he's with me and will never leave me, Satan, and you're not going to win. I believe I'm a winner. I believe I can do more through Christ than anything else. I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me. I can stand against the Satan if I will put up resistance. Okay? Resist him. Resist him. James says it. Paul says it. It's in the Scriptures. Peter says it. Do what? Resist him. Tell him. Talk to him. Tell him to get lost. Tell him you've lost, man. I'm not yours anymore. I belong to the Creator of the universe. And you got what's coming someday. You know, he only knows. He knows he has a short time. You know, he's angry. He goes about, he's angry. He really is. You know that a lion, when it's sneaking upon its prey, is very subtle, very quiet, very sneaky, hunches down. And then it pounces on its victim. And then it kills the victim. Once it's killed the victim, it roars. But not until. You better watch out. You better be alert.
because he's a schemer. He's sneaky. He's prowling around. He's just looking for that opportunity and that time when you got your faith down. You're weak in your faith. You're not putting your trust in God. You're looking at things around you, and you're evaluating all that's in there for you. And Satan sees it. He knows it, and he gets you right at that right time. And then he pounces, and he comes on you because he wants to destroy your faith. Take up the shield of faith. Protect you against the fiery darts of the world. He wants to get the shield down. Isn't that right? He wants to get the shield down. Because if he can get that faith and get you doubting, get you questioning God, get you wondering if really he loves you and he's on your side or not, you better watch out. Don't let him roar. Stop his roaring in your life. Stop it. Don't let him do it. It's up to you. It's an imperative. Resist him. Stand firm in your faith is in the imperative tense. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. That's what it says in 1 John 5:4. 1 Corinthians 16:13 states, be on the alert. Stand firm in your faith. Act like men. Be strong. Man, we need some Christian men today that know who they are, what they stand for, and why they stand for it. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the full armor of God. What? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the full armor of God. And as Paul told the Ephesians over and over again, stand firm. Verse 11, stand firm, verse 14. Then verse 16, in addition to all, take up the shield of faith, which will indeed protect you against the fiery darts of the evil one. As you and I look at Peter, and we see this aspect, remember this, what you're going through, every Christian is going through and has gone through it. There is no temptation that is not common to man, 1 Corinthians 10, 12 and 13. But what? God is faithful. What will He do? He will not allow you to be tested or tried above what you can stand, but with every temptation, He'll give you a way to escape that you may endure it. And know what He said? How many believe that? How many of us really believe that if you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, He's going to exalt you up above everything you see as a problem or a circumstance in your life? You have nothing to fear. If God is on your side, what in the world is there that can be against you? A lot of our brothers and sisters are falling along the wayside because of anxiety, because of worry, because of doubt, because of fear, and the things of the world. And Satan is having a heyday today on God's people. And he's pouncing, and he's destroying the faith. Don't let him do it. God help you. Don't let him destroy your confidence and your faith in God. He cares for you. He won't leave you. He won't forsake you. He knows what you're going through, and He's your only help in time of need. Humble yourself under that. Just fall on you and humble yourself before God and just make it known very clearly, God, I know I can't win this war and this battle of faith without You being there, walking right beside me and helping me. Strengthening me. I want to conclude this. Don't you forget. This is the sword. This is the only weapon you have to stand against him. You better know how to handle right the word of God. Because it is the sword of the Spirit, God's word. And it is the only source of spiritual power you have to confront him. When Jesus was tempted, He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And therefore, you better know that when he confronts you and he's coming after you, you can stand firm in the truth, girded up with the truth, the word of God, and you can simply say, it's written. It's written. It's written. It is written. God will never leave me, nor will he ever forsake me, devil. He is my helper in every time of need. Therefore, I can confidently say that He will exalt me, lift me up. He will be there for me. There's nothing that can stand against me. Certainly you can't. You're a loser, isn't he? Huh? You ever told somebody they're a loser? I think you got the authority to tell him he's a loser. Because that's exactly what he is. He's a loser. And I'm sure that you and I know that on God, we are winners, right? We're winners, people. Live like you're a winner. Live like you're a winner. But understand the imperative, aorist imperative. It is like an undergirded of a law. It's a command. And you're commanded to humble yourself. You're commanded to do that. Because there's no other way you will ever be exalted and God can work in your life, right? Huh? And if you don't humble yourself, what's God going to do? You're going to be, people will bring them and God will bring them down. I've seen it so many times, haven't you? Resist the devil. Resist him. But let's go back to Ephesians. Paul says, praying for all the saints. Praying for all God's people. We need to be praying for one another. Amen? Man, let's pray for all of us. Our faith will grow. We'll stand firm. We'll be strong in the Lord. Pray for one another. Because this devil, this evil one, is a powerful, forceful, spiritual entity in the world today. Don't deny his existence. Jesus didn't. The Word of God doesn't. And I guarantee you, he's not for you. He's against you. There's only one power that can stand against everything that's in this world of darkness, and that's God and his Word. His Word. Amen? Amen? And amen. God bless you. May your faith, which comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, may you stand in the presence and the power and the promises of God. What God promises, he's able to perform. And your faith has got to stand firm on those promises. He said, what? I will never, what? Leave you, nor will I forsake. That means you're never alone. You don't have to stand against all of this by yourself. God is there. He's your helper in every present time of need. Amen? Let's go. Let's stand. Let's sing our closing song today. Jesus has done what? He lifts us, right? He exalts us. Let him do that in your heart today. Get your mind off the world. Get your mind on God. Keep your focus where it belongs. Fix your eyes on Jesus, who is the finisher, the author of your faith. Amen? Jesus lifts us. Let's pray.